All right, we are back for another episode of I'm Right. This is episode 3. We're going to start off tonight with Google I.O. We have with us Heavy Metal and BSV. Heavy, tell us about Google.
All right, so I've actually watched the two keynote speeches, and I've done a little bit of reading. On the website, you can get pretty much everything is up there. So if you are interested, just go type in google.com/developer conference, and it'll have all that stuff there. But just to break it down and give a basic overview, they've essentially done a bunch of different updates. And what I'm seeing is Chrome is going to come out, and they've got a way for Chrome to actually do file systems and do all of the native stuff that you expect from a full operating system. So that's one. The other thing that they've done is they've created an app development platform that, again, is now you're talking about being able to get your roots into the hardware, and it's able to translate over all of the different platforms. So if you're going to do a tablet, if you're going to do a web browser, if you're going to do a smartphone, if you're going to do Chrome, you can basically write once and then deliver to all the different platforms. They have every single one of the big players is involved, and they're all in there. So you're going to have Adobe with Flash. You're going to have Intel. You've basically got Google TV is another one. They're actually have integrated with all the different players. In fact, Dish Network is working with them so that they can have a DVR hooked into it. And the smartphone market. They're releasing the HTC Evo 4G, which is the 4G smartphone, super big screen, blah, 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 Flash 10.1. It's going to have hotspot capability, so you're going to have up to 8 devices connect to it. So what I'm seeing here is, and that's just to kind of touch on it without getting too far into it, we can kind of look it up and discuss it over, a little bit more in depth over time. But from the gist of it, they're competing with Apple. They've already got, and they've integrated HTML5. So they've already got HTML5 as working on and integrating with everything. They have their own, the Docs is actually going to have its own custom text or font system in it, so that it'll actually have really cool graphics, professional, like you're going to lay it out in Photoshop or PageMaker, whatever program you happen to use to do your editing, and you can publish it once on the web and as a print object. And if you happen to get a legacy device that only does text, it will downgrade to match that too. So they're going to basically be competing with Apple. They're competing with Amazon.com with the Kindle and the e-book reader. They're going to be into the operating system, so they'll be competing with Microsoft. I mean, but as an integrated network, they're going to have the developers come because you can write once and you can basically deploy over all these systems. So, the way I see it, Google is becoming scary also very convenient and nice, too. So it's going to be very pleasant overlordship.
Well, wow. That's so you, for one, welcome our new Google overlords. I don't know, because I know what they're building all this on. Chrome originally was a kernel and a web browser, and the kernel was Linux. They took it right out of Ubuntu, if I remember correctly. So it sounds like what Google has basically done is taking all the promises that Linux has made for the past, 5 years, 10 years, with cell phones, desktops, devices, everywhere, and they're putting their own marketing spin on it and claiming it as their own.
They're smoothing it out is what they're doing, and you're absolutely right. But they've done so much more of the back-end work. They've done all the stuff that Linux hasn't done, which is basically take it out of the command line and essentially turn at what you would normally do as a command or a function or a bash file and made it into widgets, made it graphical, made it really, what all the cyberpunk books promise, as Gibson promised, is graphical, three-dimensional interaction too. So that's kind of the way they're moving. But the nice thing is it makes it so that the average person can actually start to develop it. I mean, the average programmer, guy who's not, spent 10 years delving into the code to get proficient in C, somebody who can write at a higher level and actually, kick out something that's semi-useful.
Well, I mean, I've Now, HTML5 is interesting. I've actually played Quake 2 running on top of HTML5.
So.
Yeah, and again, that spec is still open. They're still kind of, at the moving target. And they're still deciding, they released VP8 into the open source. So they bought it and then released it out into the wild. And then so they basically have to settle on an audio codec, which I think is going to be OGG, but I'm not sure. It might be a Matroska. So we might be seeing the good old-fashioned Pirates codec as a standard open source, which would be kind of nifty.
So, okay, VP8, that's their video codec, right?
Yeah, the one that they just bought, yeah.
BSV, you've been quite quiet. What do you think?
I don't know.
You don't?
Succinct response, thank you very much, sir.
Like you, Heavy was saying, it would be nice with having all this stuff working together, all coming from one source. It's just, I don't know, when something gets too big and gets their hands into everything, it can do some bad stuff if it decides to.
So you don't believe their do-no-evil motto?
I would like to, but Google is getting pretty big.
Well, I imagine in a few years they'll have the same problem Microsoft did, where they'll have federal judges claiming that they want to break them up.
That's the funny thing, is I think that they've actually kind of taken the position of come and sue us. I mean, they bought YouTube and they said, "All right, come and sue us," and they had the whole Viacom thing, right? And now they've made Android, and it's like maybe they're not being attacked directly by Apple, but the HTC is, and they're kind of backing HTC up, and they're like, "Come on and sue us," you know? So yeah. Now they're gonna do the codec thing, and it's always been, everybody's afraid to make a codec and make it open source codec and release it into the wild because they're afraid of like one lawsuit that had prior art, and they're like, "Oh, we can't afford to do that." And well, Google done it. They said, "Look, we're gonna make these two standards. They're open source now. Come and sue us."
Well, the video codec problem wasn't copyright. It wasn't, "Well, we need to write a video codec." It was that the MPEG group has patents over basically the only way to do a video codec, from what I understand. So, anybody who does, like, digital video compression probably infringes on their patent, so they're just waiting on them to sue somebody over it.
Right, and I guess, maybe Google is waiting for, hoping that VP8 is unique enough that they can win that lawsuit. We'll see. But yeah, the MPEG, they just went ahead and they said, "Look, the 2 years we made this agreement with Apple that we can do basically a blanket pricing if you're past a certain size of a corporation, so that you only have to pay a single base fee," and that's coming up.
And what was it, $500,000 or something ridiculous like that?
It was really cheap, and so now they're going to want to crank the price up on that, the licensing fee, and I imagine none of these big companies want to pay that, so it's going to be a hell of a fight. So a lot of what they showed was basically beta. It was really rough stuff. I mean, I'm surprised that, Google's never been afraid, I guess, to show a beta project and say, "Hey, it's a beta. This is as good as it's going to get for now." But we know
Google was in beta for years.
Yep. They showed, Google TV, and it looked pretty good and promising. You pretty much just pump all of the sources into a box. You're going to have cable card, you're going to have, all the different things in that one box, and you're just going to be able to switch between it on the web, whatever. Here's the rub. They get to feature their ads, targeted ads, over the box. So Google TV is basically them controlling the ad platform.
Now this creates another interesting scenario, and I think we talked about this, maybe not on, I don't think we talked about it on I'm Right. I think we may have talked about it on one of the other shows on the network, though, where since they get kind of to control everything, if they're checking everything to see if it's copyrighted or not, like, you download your movies or whatever off Pirate Bay or Easy News, whatever, and dump them on your box so you can watch them. Is Google going to be checking for copyright, or are they going to be forced to, like they are with YouTube? Because, I know Viacom made a big stink, but then Viacom got caught uploading their own videos to YouTube so that they would have a lawsuit. So I don't know how that one worked out. But
Well, I think that one was pretty straightforward. It's one of those things where, that's the risk. Now, you can always still use everything separate, what they're doing is they're moving into the average consumer. Not the, the geeks like us who are like, oh, yeah, I hacked this box to do that, blah, blah, blah. I put together 4 cable cards in a home theater PC system so I can record everything at once. And, this is for, our grandparents to sit on the recliner and basically sit there and just push the clicker and watch whatever they happen to find on that's interesting. I'm glad that's changing. I mean, it's definitely, we needed to go to IP television a long time ago, and this is the big push toward it.
Well, I'm just wondering, since, we put out a little bit of video on our own network. We've got 2 shows, although the agent has gone into hiding again, so I'm going to have to dig him up. But, I know Laura's putting out a video every once in a while. Like, if we were to drop our videos onto the service, and they decide, well, we can't find a signature for that, so we assume it's pirated and just reach in and delete it, I'm wondering if Google would have that kind of capability. So,
well, they might, but that they actually also have a revenue-sharing model.
That's true, they do.
So, yes, they're going to crank out the ads, but, I guarantee you it's going to be – Alex Jones style stuff. We'll get survival seed ads thrown in there, and we'll get the portable shelters and the tinfoil hat company or whatever.
Hey, I like some of the ads Alex Jones has. Those are great, especially how sensationalist they are.
I know. And the thing is, I really like the fact that that's there, but you don't have to go there. I mean, you can do other, forms of distribution. Bing is another option, and I assure you that Microsoft, while they will be a couple of years behind Google, they're not dead yet, and I think they'll have an equivalent, profit sharing thing. So it will be worth it for us to make our video. In fact, I'm picking up the Evo 4G myself. Mostly because I want that high definition camera. I want to start doing video off of that.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, I just recently picked up a new camera myself. I got a Kodak DXD, which is, it's like a flip, but it also does HD, and it was a lot cheaper. So I was requested by the agent to get a camera that I could move around. Apparently he's one do stuff that, being tied to a webcam doesn't work. So.
Well, and that makes sense. I mean, it's funny how you get into the professional end of this thing once you start doing production. It's like, now I need to do a 2-camera shoot. Pretty soon the agent's going to want a 3-camera shoot, and you're going to be running all over hell doing the production work for him.
Fuck that. He can buy his own damn cameras. I don't care to do the production work, but, I mean, although, it has been better since he took the mask, so I'll tell you that. But, I mean, yeah, I know it was me behind the first one. But after that, I got him, and, man, it's been different.
That's good. Yeah, no, and that's the thing it's becoming cheap and ubiquitous to the point where, everything is pretty much going to be usable by the average consumer like us. So the big guys are around right now, and they're going to do the high production, high cost productions, high quality production stuff. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be able to put out some damn good stuff on the lower end for a cheap budget, and there's going to be a lot of that content out there, and people are going to watch it. So I think there's still room for everybody out there, and I really think. I think that's the beauty of it, is it's still, very democratic. You choose to watch whatever you want.
Yeah. What do you say, BSV? You wanting to take a Nameless Review Show into video?
Not really.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to either, because that would require me to wear pants during the show.
that and they'd probably expect us to try to entertain them with the video, too.
As opposed to sitting there looking at the screen. It's like, oh, yeah, you watch two people stare at the screen.
You know, actually, it's funny, but I've seen other shows from other networks, and they're pretty much just sitting there talking. They don't see a whole lot of activity. Occasionally, they'll hold an old product up or a new toy or something that they're playing with right in front of it, but it's pretty static shots. They're just switching between views. So I wouldn't say you guys would necessarily be too bad at it. And by the way, Skype's going to get 5 video feeds.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
But so, also, the one, it would make editing a lot more than, and it won't really add too much for the extra work.
I'm also pretty sure that they don't edit either. Unless they swear and they beep something out, I think it's pretty much for the couple shows that I'm thinking of.
You're thinking of Twit?
I'm thinking of Twit. You know, they don't really edit much.
They do. Well, granted, if you watch their live shows, yeah, those are real. I don't get to do that very often, but I have watched their live show. But I watched Bitch at their live show and then went back and heard the whole thing on the recording. And it's like, oh, wow, they've just completely cut out a whole rant. I mean, so they do it. I think they just kind of pick and choose.
Yeah, I think that's almost more because they have restrictions by their bandwidth provider. AOL is, like, pretty picky about what they put up. And I think that's, you know, or occasionally if they get a hair up their butt about not saying somebody's name or something, they'll cut a lot out that way.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah, with the Apple guy, I remember that. So
yeah. I was like, everybody knows it anyway, just say it.
Yeah. All right, well, we've pretty much beat that one to death and tangented it a couple of times, so let's go to something a little more fun. First on the stack, I was using the bag, but I found I wasn't drawing different topics very often, so I've actually printed them all out on cards and just been shuffling them the whole time. Let's see what we got. Scenario. A natural disaster, any kind, take your pick, has taken out your immediate area. There's no power and no rescue coming. What do you do?
ESV. Straight up on demand.
What I would do if something went bad.
Yeah, the world's gone sideways. There's Katrina-level stuff. Rake. I can't speak. I'll cut that part out. Haha. Unlike Twit, I do edit my shows. There's rape gangs in the streets. There's, there's no infrastructure, no power, looting. What do you do?
Let's see. I have to probably quick change my normal plan since that involves some stuff with my work and don't really want the off chance of them hearing. Because then they're guarded, and I don't want them in security.
Nice.
So, first thing, I'd probably try to pack up and quick try to meet up with my family, since a good chunk of us collect guns and keep decent amount of supplies. Unfortunately, they live on the north side of the city more. So I would probably quick go to the power plant at my here and try to commandeer the train that goes to it, since traffic is, well, highways and that would most likely be clogged or that, so I would come into your train and try that as far as I can get north.
Oh, so you'd basically have the Left 4 Dead scenario where you fight through the city to get to relative safety.
Well, the whole thing is it's more protection in numbers, that and it more protection with more guns and ammo, too.
Fair enough.
Then after that, I think we'd have to try to figure out what exactly is going on to determine what to do.
Yeah, the scenario wasn't very. It just says natural disaster, so I'm assuming not zombies.
A natural disaster. I don't know about Comintune, the train, unless it's an extremely severe one.
Let's say Katrina loves shit. I was drunk when I was writing these, so I don't actually know what I was thinking. So
pretty much local government and law enforcement is pretty much useless.
Yeah, it's out. Yeah, or they're just
defending. I would take the train still. Since, there's still local police. They probably have an issue with theft of train.
I gotcha. Well, Heavy BSV is going to be doing amateur locomotives. What are you going to be doing?
Well, here's where things are really rough. I'm not going to know where my family is necessarily. And I live in Michigan, so on the opposite side of the state is my sister and her husband. So that's going to be the challenging is, and I got a lot of family on this side. We can get the guns. We can get the pickup truck with the ethanol running engine. So, I get the reflux column going. And then I can, get a few gallons a week or so out of, as far as ethanol production. So we can, if we needed to use the truck, we can do it. But, getting across the state and getting back is going to be the real challenge. Getting them to, get so that, other than that, I'd say go out in the woods. I mean, or not out in the woods, but out in the country. And then, you got property. We could throw a couple of acres worth of food up if it's a great time of year. If it isn't, we're screwed. we're going to have to start scrounging for food, and I'm not going to the supermarket because every damn buddy and their cousin's going to be there.
Oh, yeah, it'll probably pick clean by the time you get there.
Yeah.
Right. So the trick is to go out and basically start hunting because, I'm assuming it'll be outside of hunting season. You can start taking game, preserving your meat with salt. We have an abundance of old salt mines here, so that's not going to be a problem in holding that. And, definitely, got well water, so we can always just pump that up manually. So it's not going to be too bad of a situation. Assuming if it's something normal like flooding or something, or hurricanes, or not hurricanes, but tornadoes or something. In this area, we have a problem. We have, to the south, we have a nuclear power plant. To the east, we've got Chemical Valley and Sarnia. So, if one of the big natural disasters, like the Chemical Valley, blows up bigger than normal, because they lose a silo about once every 2-3 years, holy crap.
So you might actually be dealing with zombies.
I might actually be dealing with zombie stuff. Yeah. That's the problem. Depending on the scenario, I'll be all right. But if the scenario is like chemical, it's going to be run away. and as far as I can get on the gasoline, I have. So that's the problem. The two that I envision to be like run north and hope to get into the UP and if not grab a boat or swim to get away from it. So that's how I do it.
Well, I've actually been in a couple of, one in particular, I was semi-involved with some disaster areas. Nashville flooded not too long ago, and I've actually got some family down there, and I can tell you the grocery stores were empty within hours. I mean, as soon as they figured out that this was natural disaster level stuff, all of the major grocery stores could not keep anything on the shelves, and it was bad. So, I'll tell you now, right now, you're not counting on any of your normal provisions. Running down to Walmart to get the guns won't work because by the time you get there, they will be gone.
Well, I got the guns handled. Not so stuck up on. Actually, I do have about 20 pounds of beans I keep on stash, so I should be all right that way.
Well, I mentioned that because a lot of a lot of the fiction you read, what's the first thing they do? They head to whatever store they can to get the supplies they need, and that doesn't actually work. They will all be gone by the time you get there.
Yeah, unless it's a major one where a lot of people are killed right away.
Yeah.
Not going to be much left to pick over.
And I can also tell you the power goes out really damned quick. So, it's all... So, you have to assume you might not even be able to use your vehicle just, you know, whatever gas happens to be in it. I can tell you my car's got half a tank of gas in it right now, and to be frank about it, I do not have the provisions in this house to last more than a couple of days if I had to. So what I would have to do, I would probably have to hop on my bike and head, well, it's an hour's drive north. It'd probably be a day's ride to hook up with the rest of my family. But, you know, they've got the gun situation handled. And actually, that whole neighborhood where my parents live would probably be a good place to be because it's kind of up on a hill. So they wouldn't be flooded. But also, most of the people in that area, you know, kind of got the, even though it's just a small neighborhood, most of the people in that area kind of have the, you know, the kind of the old time town, small town stick together thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that neighborhood would actually probably be a really good place to be. So that's probably what I would do.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, it's always tough. It's nice to think about this stuff, but in practice, on a daily basis, keeping enough extra food and not having it go to waste is a hard thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think my mom has portable meat in cans that she's got, like, 24 cans of. So that's kind of a nice little backup there. But think about it this way. If you don't have a seed storage thing, what are you going to do the next year? I mean, you know, how are you going to get enough food, you know, following on? So you hope the disaster gets cleaned up pretty quickly. But it could be pretty rough for a while. You get a,
yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe we should plan and actually try to put something in place for a longer term.
Well, you know, the problem with it is to do it right, you know, you've got to have all this stuff stocked in a place you can get to it. You know, so if you've got to grab the bag and run, you can. But then at the same time, go ahead, Jesse.
Well, one thing that's fortunate for me, once I meet up with my family, I have a good chunk of my family is actually farmers. So I just have to head up further north out of the city to get a good supply of food.
There you go.
Yeah. And I know what you're saying. You know, I've got a 45-minute commute from where I work. Now, granted, where I work is pretty good. It's going to be a pretty safe place to be, you know, depending on the type of disaster again. But if I get, you know, like, you know, hey, I'm 10 minutes out of work and then said disaster happens or it takes a bad turn, now it's like, okay, I've got a half an hour to drive through whatever traffic develops.
Terrible.
Yeah. Fortunately, I'm driving a pickup truck, so at least I've got some off-road capability. Hopefully that'll be enough to get around any major accidents. But, you know, what do I have on me? Maybe, you know, a package of snack crackers from work and a drink, and that's about it.
Let's see, what would I normally have on me? Well, I usually wear a fairly decent jacket or vest, even when it's warm out, just because I like having pockets. Let's see. Geez, I'd have my laptop, a notebook, and my gym clothes. That's about it.
Well, yeah, I work outside, so my clothing I don't think would be an issue, you know, because it's usually fairly warm, depending on the weather at the time. But, you know, I've got a multi-tool. I keep a multi-tool in the truck.
And I'd be, if I was at work when it happened. I worked at a university, right? So I just got screwed.
Yeah.
That place would be emptied really quick, and a lot of panicking, you know, kids.
Yep, a lot of panicky kids. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because my mother for years would keep a kit in the back of her car. She'd have a wool blanket, have a little plastic shovel, you know, and some other, you know, small survival tools just in case, you know, her car went off the side of the road in the wintertime.
Isn't that a normal thing?
Yeah, I have an emergency kit in my car too, now that I think about it.
So say I have a shovel, few jug of water usually, and
I don't know
why it ended up in my car, but I normally have a pry bar too for some reason.
Now that's actually a good thing to have.
That is very handy. You know, and
so it's kind of nifty. I like the idea. I like the poll there. So natural disaster, in reality, not every, very few people, even the ones that think about this shit, aren't ready for it. So,
well, you know, and plus, too, it's really easy to completely forget that, you know, something might happen. And, yeah, I've got an emergency kit in my house that's got some basic survival tools in it, but I couldn't live off of it. You know what I mean? I mean, there's some stuff in there that would be handy to have, so, like, if I had to go, I'd grab that box. But there's not enough there. I mean, it's basic stuff, like a knife, some gloves, some cooking stuff, no food, no water.
I've got my
flashlight and pool sticks, but
I've got my camping kit. Which is, you know, it is a camping kit. It's like a, you know, it's a solid frame pack, and it's everything I need. A couple of MREs in there. So if I'm at home, I think I'll be all right that way. You know, a hatchet and some sort of tools that I can actually, if I was out in the wilderness, I could actually survive. I could make snares. I could do some living off the land. I'm all right that way, but that's only if I can get to it.
What were you going to say, BSV?
No, I was going to say something.
I thought you were. I thought I heard you try to cut in.
No, probably just my chair creaking or something.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up there. We've hit our time limit, so I'm about ready to hit stop on the recorder. But, yeah, I thought this one went well. So hopefully we can keep up the quality of the show. So
we'll see.
Hitting stop now.